There. All right, time now to look through the window of baseball. We do it with Bruce Jenkins of The Chronicle, brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning on this Sunday. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Well, pretty good. You know, it was a long day at the ballpark yesterday, and I'm sure in your illustrious career you've had some of those doubleheaders that just went on forever. You know, it's just one of those parts of baseball that you just have to deal with.
I had a single-header that went on forever. There was a night in Philadelphia in the 1980s when there was a rain delay, and Steve Carlton had a no-hitter going, so they really wanted to keep the thing going. We watched an entire extra-inning game from Anaheim during the rain delay, and we finally got out of there. The game ended at 3:11 in the morning in Philly at the Vet. So yeah, you go through these things in baseball, and you know, when a doubleheader's involved, you think it's never going to end, but the one thing I've always liked to see in any baseball writer is not complaining about, you know, end it, let's get out of here, let's go drink. I mean, that does sound appealing, but you gotta appreciate what's in front of you and wait it out when that happens.
Boy, amazing. You know, as I say, if they don't score 7 runs now, there's a problem. For 33 games, they couldn't score 6. Now
I was going to say, look at the batting averages. They're just 288, 317, 303, 320. I mean, that's for real. It's not like they're hitting a bunch of bloopers that are falling in. I mean, Belt had a couple of balls and Crawford that is scorched that were caught. It's really a great and a gratifying thing to watch. And it's not, you know, like supernatural. I mean, these guys are capable of it, and they're all doing it at once, which is a great thing.
Well, Casey McGee is not going to have a chance to hit against Chad Bettis today. The Alex Pavlovich has just reported the Giants have designated Casey McGee for assignment. Hunter Strickland.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Hunter Strickland is remaining with the ball club. They want that extra pitcher right now. So that's the end of the Casey McGee era, I would believe.
God, he turned into Brandon Hicks.
Amazing. Jeez. Well, he never quite
At least Brandon Hicks did a few things.
Yeah, he never quite got there. So the beat writers give him a few wows and whoa and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you sort of, you know, the fans saw it coming, as you and I have talked about it. You know, he's a veteran, but maybe they just felt Duffy. And I went through this list of rookie hitters in the National League, and Duffy's up there with just about everybody. We talked about him sort of like a Bill Miller yesterday, and you got Arias behind them. I guess they're comfortable at least to give it that shot.
Well, I think it's a great move. I mean, I could definitely see what Boise was doing, giving him all the rope possibly could, because, you know, they brought him in to replace Sandoval and everything else. But you know, McGee didn't stand out in any way. He doesn't run well. He's an okay fielder, but nothing spectacular. And he's been completely baffled on the low and away curveball. He's swinging, missing at all of them. He's looking bad when 8 other guys are raking. He's just didn't impress the team in any way. He was a slug.
Yes, he was, and he's from Santa Cruz as well, and that was part of it. A slug.
Well, right.
Come on, Bruce. It's Sunday morning. Anybody out there with me? Come on. It's David Letterman. Anyone out there? You know. But
we're having a tough day here at the house. My daughter fractured her wrist playing volleyball.
Oh, no.
And there's 2 of us on the shelf.
Oh, goodness. All right. She'll join you on the couch here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other part, it's Bobby Evans, you know. And I said, Bobby Evans, when are you going to make your trade? When are you going to make the mark? And maybe this is a Bobby Evans move, honestly, to say, all right, that's enough. Let's go this way. You know, it's not really Brian Sabian.
No, you know, it's harsh, but it's justified. I don't think any fans would go, hey, wait a minute. You know, I mean, and the fact that they're going to look at Strickland, I think, is huge. I mean, you know, obviously he gave up, 6 homers in 8 innings in the postseason. It became like a joke, but the guy throws bullets. He struck out Tulowitzki last night in a dandy slider, and if he's going to do that and have command, this is a guy who could really help their bullpen in a huge way. So I like the fact that he's gonna stick around, right?
Technically had to send them back to Sacramento, and now they've recalled him. So they have to option him back and then recall him. But he's here, and it also gives him another arm in the bullpen. You know, another right-handed arm with Romo, Contos, Casilla, Machi, and Strickland. It gives you a little more action out of the bullpen. And you know, they've got the game today. They go into Milwaukee, which is another hitter's park, home with 4 for Atlanta, and then you got Pittsburgh coming in. So, you know, you get one of these starters that doesn't go deep in the game, all of a sudden the bullpen is chewed up again, and you need the extra pitcher.
Yeah, and I think Strickland's a guy who could give you three or four innings if they had to out of the pen. You know, he's young and he's a horse and ready to go. And he's a guy that can get through innings. You don't necessarily have to yank him because a left-hand hitter's coming up if he's really got his stuff. If he's throwing 98 with a good breaking ball, you don't have to play the percentages. Just let him go a couple innings.
Well, all the people on Twitter, and there are many, 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 Bruce, who talked about McGee, and I'm waiting to look at all the tweets this morning and say, I told you so. Well, it had to play out, and it played out finally this morning. So Casey McGee DFA'd, and I guess the slide in the plate last night was maybe the last straw. What could go wrong for this guy? He beats a throw. It's a great throw. He slides in, and the front leg doesn't touch the plate. He gets clobbered by the catcher, and on review, he's out, and on review, he really is out.
Yeah, you can compare that to a super athletic guy like Pagan who goes in head first, and he's way out wide, and he only shows like a fingernail across in the plate. You know, that's your textbook slide home when it's close kind of play. But, you know, it's not easy to slide head first anywhere. You're putting yourself at risk sometimes, and that's just not McGee. They took him to the quarter pole and then they retired him.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of chatter about this on the show today and this evening. All right. Someone called in yesterday or sent me an email. It was a great question. And you know, the Benji Molina book is coming out. Joan Ryan did a nice job with it. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it yet.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I just got it in the mail yesterday, and Joan will be on with us next weekend to talk about the Molina family and the dad who raised these three catchers. I mean, an incredible impact in the game of baseball. And the question was, who had more of an impact in the game of baseball, the Alou family or the Molina family? And I'll throw that out to you.
Well, I have to say the Alous, because when they came into the Giants camp, all from the Dominican Republic, those were very early days in the Latin American Revolution, you know, bringing guys from those countries into the bigs. You know, the Giants were totally pioneers there. I think Felipe was the first to play regularly, wasn't he? I mean, they had Ozzie Virgil, but Felipe was the first real guy. You know, he was the first guy that back home in the Dominican was a legend, and now he was in the big leagues. And then you got two of his brothers. One day they were all in the Giants outfield.
Yes.
All of a sudden, from a game, you know, a lily white game, you got three Dominican guys in the outfield. So I think if you remember the impact back then, it might have been bigger. But, you know, I mean, Yadier Molina is an incredibly influential catcher. You know, he's right there with Buster Posey and all the great catchers. He hits, he fields, he's a thinker, he's a leader. And, you know, we saw a lot of great stuff from Benji here. You know, everybody remembers that he couldn't run very well, but he was a good catcher. He was on some good teams, did some good things, and did a lot of hitting and some power hitting. And then you got Jose Molina, who's one of these guys who goes, you know, what's with this new plate collision rule? Let's have it the way it was.
Yeah,
I'm going to stand there and block the plate for the rest of my life. You know, so a great, great, cool family, great father, and I'm sure Joan will do it upright. But it's a good question. It's a debatable question for sure.
Yeah, it's worth maybe a column on it. But it is. Yeah. I went the Molina way.
Did you?
I said, well, Yadier and Felipe. Yadier could be a Hall of Famer. Felipe was, as you said, outstanding arm, great outfielder, a hard hitter. On a very good team for many years. But Yadier could be a Hall of Famer. Then I said Benji and Maddie. Oh, Maddie won a couple of batting titles and was a good pinch hitter with the A's later on in life. But Benji was the catcher who caught a lot of people and, you know, was very coveted in baseball. And then Jose was like Jesus. You know, he rolled his neck around, got up there, got the bat, could get a pinch hit just falling out of bed. And Jose was a guy, you put him behind the plate, 6'4", 240 or 280, whatever he was, you weren't moving him. And he's a good – is he still playing? Maybe – I don't know if he's still playing.
I think
playing.
So.
Maybe.
And Jesus Alou, I think, is the only guy who could take a pitch coming in at his head,
right,
way up by the forehead, and hit it down the right field line.
Yeah. There, yeah.
So he's an amazing hitter.
Yeah, good question. A good question. Yeah. I'm glad – I forgot who sent that in to me yesterday, but it's a good question. Bruce, what do you think – I don't know if we talked about yesterday, Dan Jennings in Miami – taking over, a general manager coming in into the dugout to do it. Tracy Ringlesby said there's been like 83 times a manager's been dismissed this early in the season. Only four made it to the playoffs. But what about a general manager coming out of the office, coming down into the clubhouse. The Marlins didn't even show up on Thursday night to a fundraiser. It can't be good.
Well, no, it can't be, and it hasn't been. You know, the team didn't play any better. There's been a couple situations where he looked a little overmatched. But what really bothered me, you know, there's a rule. It's not enforced very well, obviously, but the Bud Selig rule, and then Rob Manfred reiterated it a couple weeks ago, that the teams need to go through the process of hiring and interview minorities. And in this case, to me, somebody like, I even heard that some of the Marlins were privately hoping Dusty Baker would come into this situation, or Ron Washington. There's a lot of guys out there who should have at least gotten a nod. I mean, maybe you're thinking, well, we'll bring in Jennings, but if you bring in Dusty and have a real interview and really listen to him, there's not even a comparison. Now, not that Dusty would go work for that idiot, but you have to at least go through the process. And, you know, to bring in the general manager, it's so Miami. God, it's just so Marlins, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and, you know, it makes no sense. I mean, this is a team that preseason was considered you know, a shot at the playoffs. They went out and got Matt Latos and Dan Haran. Prado is in there. Stanton is back healthy. They bring Ichiro in. Yelich is going to have another big season. They bring Michael Morse in. They get rid of Salter Lamacchia, who still hasn't gotten a hit in AAA. I think he's like 0 for 50 in AAA, so they did the right thing there. But the bullpen falls apart, and the team just, like, there was no character. And Stanton said this early on. He said, we're missing something. You know, there's something missing here. And I don't think by bringing Jennings in, they get it. They needed a baseball man in there, someone who could run an organization from the dugout. And I think they're nuts in bringing Jennings in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you ran it down, that has such a potential for a really dynamic team. I mean, Stanton, D. Gordon leading the league in hits. You know, Morris hitting the ball deep, and when Jose Fernandez comes back, that's one of the most dynamic pitchers in either league. That's a team that's really ready to be good, and instead they're just going right down the dumper.
All right, let's move on. Nick Cafardo on Sunday, always love his stuff. He wrote an interesting article this morning about the switch hitters. Is it going to be a thing of the past? Not many great switch hitters anymore, and in fact, he brought up Sandoval, which I think was the point of his whole story to say, hey, the guy's 2 for 43. Stop hitting right-handed. And I don't think he wanted to just say it, make him the article, but he brought in all the other switch hitters. But switch hitting, maybe it's a thing of the past. I'll give you some of the names that he's got in here. But think about it, Bruce. Do you think switch hitting is something that we've seen almost the end of it?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a big story in Boston because Daniel Nava and Victorino both abandoned spring, so it's right there in front of you. And now you got Sandoval. Sandoval looks so bad up there. I mean, like helpless, like completely not even recognizable from his left-handed stroke. That I think he might want to consider it, but no. I mean, there's always going to be kids hitting from both sides. It's a little bit of a drought right now, but it's not like it's an incredible tool to have. There's no reason it should go away. It just so happens now that there aren't many of them, but. You know, there's a guy in the A system, you know, Vendid, who throws with both hands. So, I mean, the idea of it is always going to be there. There's always going to be a dad that says, hey, son, why don't you try and turn around and hit lefty here, too? And all of a sudden he takes to it, and he's a great hitter from both sides. That's never going to go away.
All right. Well, the Beltran, Teixeira, then he's got Melky Cabrera, Coco Crisp, Billy Hamilton, and he's got Chase Headley, Jose Reyes, Eric Ibar, Ben Zobrist, Kendrys Morales, Jimmy Rollins, Nick Swisher, Angel Pagan, Jed Lowry, Carlos Santana, and Asdrubal Cabrera. Then, of course, he's got Victor Martinez in there as well. So I guess it's still out there, but you don't see the mantles anymore. You know. But how many were there anyway? Eddie Murray and, you know, Pete Rose,
Reggie
and people
Smith.
Like that.
This is not a golden era, let's say, for switch hitters. But yeah. And there's never been, like, 20 great ones in the bigs, but I think if you can come into the big leagues with that kind of talent, it's just invaluable.
Well, it's back to Colorado today. Who knows what's going to happen? Bruce, you've been in so many ballparks. I have been too. I say you go to this park, it's like playing ball in outer space. It's like being on the moon. There's no other ballpark in the league like this thing.
No, if I'm managing, unless I have a 10-run lead, I'm just nervous as hell going into the bottom of the ninth.
Well, every game is like that. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, it's the end of the Casey McGee era, so I guess that's the big news of the day.
I feel bad for the guy. You know, he's a real humble guy. He was always, you know, a stand-up guy in the locker room after he'd had a terrible game and, you know, didn't point fingers or come up with excuses. He said, I got to do better here. I've got a great opportunity. I got to do it. And it just didn't happen. And the way that it happened, the way that it looked, the aesthetics were not great. He wasn't bringing anything to the table, and this team's about ready to take off. So, yeah. You know, good for Bobby Evans. I'm sure Sabian, you know, they talked about it. It's a strong move, and I think one they had to make.
Yeah, one of the first strong Bobby Evans moves, and I think this is in his corner. But it messes up my show for tomorrow. I had a good soundbite with Casey McGee about hitting in Milwaukee. So, can we still use it, Raf? Raf says yes. Why not? We could still use it. It's early in the morning. All right, have a great Sunday, and I hope you're feeling better. I hope Molly is as well.
Oh, thanks, Marty.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
You bet.
Okay, that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.